Okay, we are ready to go here. We are continuing our study on Revelation chapter 16. We're moving right along here. In case you're listening to this, today is a very cold day in Milford, Iowa. We had about 2 inches of snow. It is breezy, and the temperature tells us it's going to get below zero for the next few days. So those of you that are in Arizona, I know you're laughing and you're chuckling and saying, so sorry. But we know that your turn will come someday when you come back to Iowa. It'll be a lot warmer, but that's the way it is here. All right, we're going to do a little review on chapter 15 that we looked at last week. The first one is, what great and marvelous sign did John see in heaven? What does it say there in Revelation chapter 15? What did he see?
Seven angels with seven plagues.
That's right. Seven angels with seven last plagues. That word last is very important because we know that there were seven seals, there were seven trumpets, and now we're at the seven plagues, or the seven bowls, or the seven vials, depending on which Bible you're using, what it will say. But we know that the end of all the judgments is coming to an end now, here, which we're all looking forward to that. Because we're looking forward to the last two chapters of Revelation, right, Norma? That's where we want to go.
I'd go there today.
Yeah, today would be good. Yeah. But we'll get there in time. Right. Number two in review, it says, who were given harps by God and sang songs of Moses and the Lamb? Those who had been victorious over the blank and over the blank of his name.
Over the beast.
Yep, the beast is in the first blank. And then over the
number.
The number, and that number is what?
666.
You got it, Roz. Yep, the number 666, which is the number of the beast, is the answer for that blank. Three, what did John see that was open in heaven? What did he see what was open in heaven?
The tent?
Yeah, the tabernacle, the temple referred to. It's the tent of the testimony, the tabernacle of the testimony. And it's what's being referred to there is the curtain inside the tabernacle or the temple is open. And it's really the one that only the high priest could go behind in the regular days. But here we find that the temple is open. The curtain is pulled to the side. You can see everything, which was unusual here on earth. That just did not happen. But now it's wide open.
And what is the testimony?
Testimony is God's presence is there. The presence of God was always there. That's why the tabernacle was made. And the cloud would settle over the tabernacle when, so like God was...
The Ark of the Covenant?
Ark of the Covenant was in there later on.
Yep. Later on.
Yep, later on, yep. The Ark of the Covenant comes in there, and then inside the Ark of the Covenant, you have the Ten Commandments. So you got the two tablets of the Ten Commandments, you got Aaron's rod that had budded, and you have manna. Those are the three things that we find inside the Ark of the Covenant. But the Ark of the Covenant was also where God was, his presence was at. And when God told the Israelites to make the tabernacle, he gave them very specific instructions on what it is to be made of, what kind of wood, what kind of furs, what colors of fabric that would be used on it. And I always thought that that was something kind of like, why did he have to go through that kind of detail? But it goes to show that God is a God of order, and he's very detailed in all that he does. And there's a reason for it all. With the devil, we find it's chaotic. Mm-hmm. You know, anything goes. But with God, no, he's a God of order. And there's a reason for the colors and everything that he does. And we see that even when we get to the regular temple, that I don't believe that the real temple that Solomon built, there was not a hammer that was heard. They built it where it all fit together. So they built it all outside and brought in the blocks. And when they put it together, there was no sound of any hammer. It was done in reverence. And that was a big building. That was a big temple. Beautiful. Number four, what were the seven angels wearing when they came out of the temple? Blank, shining blank, with blank sashes around their chests.
Wasn't it clean and shining linen?
Yeah, clean. They were clean. And that, again, that's what we find in heaven. It is going to be a clean place. What they're wearing is shiny linen. So it'd be, the color would be what color?
I mentioned white.
Yep, white. Be white color. And they had gold sashes around their chests. Mm-hmm. So they are kind of dressed to the hilt, we would probably call it. And there's a reason that they were clean. It was white. And the gold sashes around their chest. So you know that something is going to take place, something very important. Number five, who gave them the golden bowls filled with the wrath of God? Blank of the blank living creatures. Looking for numbers.
Four.
One and four.
Yep, one of the four living creatures comes out and gives them golden bowls.
Where do we see that? In which?
That is found there
in... Oh, I see. Verse 7.
Yep, verse 7. Then one of the four living creatures. You know, I thought, you know, maybe all four would come out.
Yeah.
But it's only one. And I wonder why just one? And then is there something special about one over the other three?
Yeah.
I don't know. Have no idea.
See, it's Revelation.
It's Revelation. We don't know everything. Why, reason for these things. Okay, so that brings us now to today's chapter 16 that we're looking at. And I just got a question. I start with a question. I'm just asking you guys. How can a God of love pour out seven bowls of wrath on the earth? And we look at Revelation 16:1. It says, then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go pour out the seven bowls of God's wrath on the earth. That's what it says there. And so I just come up with the question, well, how can a God of love pour out seven bowls of wrath on the earth? Answer.
It's judgment.
Because he can.
Yeah, because he can. Yeah.
He can. But, you know, it's one of the things that, you know, because God is holy and God is just. And you cannot say that that God has given up on people even during the Great Tribulation. He still offers them a time to repent, a time for them to come to him if they will. And yet we find that there are many who do not.
Well, the word says, revenge is mine,
yeah.
Says the Lord.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's going to do his judgment things. When you have saints crying out, how long are we going to be suffering?
Yeah.
How long do we have to deal with this? I guess in this judgment, he's going, I'm taking care of it right now.
Yeah. And that's something that I remember Norma bringing up about the saints who were martyred, who were under the altar. And they go like, well, how much longer? I mean,
yeah.
Like, kind of do something here to revenge our blood type of a thing. And the Lord says, well, I will in time. Mm-hmm. Be patient. And we do find the answer to that in this chapter, as we will get to. All right, so we come now to the first bowl as it is emptied. And it's, remember, at every bowl there is the wrath of God that pours out of it. And this first bowl, the judgment is, what does the judgment bring to a certain group of people?
Just the ones with the mark.
Yeah, the ones who have the 666 on their forehead or on their hand, the mark of the beast, they are the ones that this first bowl affects. And what happens to these people with the mark?
They get, to me it describes boils.
Well, yeah.
Or something.
Yep, so ugly, first blank would be brought ugly and painful sores on the people. And, you know, and you can use boils because it depends what translation you're using. But, you know, what's interesting too, as you look at some of these judgments, if you go back to Egypt, when Moses was there asking Pharaoh to let his people go, we find that there's some similarities here, some parallelisms. Because wasn't there boils that the people were affected with in the 10 plagues in Egypt? There was. They don't go in any order here, but we find that some of the same kind of judgment that happens here in Revelation, we go back to the Old Testament, to the days of Moses and Pharaoh. So only on those who had the mark of the beast, and then B, you got their 2B, who worshipped his blank.
His image.
Yeah, and so these are people who have really sold their soul really to the devil. They've got the mark of the beast. They also have, they worship his image that was set up in the temple. And they know what they're doing. They know what they want to worship. And of course they're picking the wrong ones to actually worship.
They set up the images in the temple.
This one is. The Antichrist is in the temple.
All right.
The Antichrist.
I forgot about that guy. Yeah.
And remember, it was a false prophet who kind of made this image talk.
Yeah.
Kind of brought him back to life, kind of a thing, and made the people then go, he must be a god, and therefore we're going to worship this guy. But the false prophet is going to always focus the people to worship the Antichrist, who is really the embodiment of Satan himself. I mean, Satan really controls the Antichrist. All right, so that's just the first bowl. The second bowl we find in 16:3. That one is poured out, and what does that affect?
Sea.
Okay, the sea. So the sea is made up of what kind of water?
Blood. Salt.
Salt water. So this is a touching salt water, and it turned it into what?
Blood.
And then everything in the sea
died.
Yeah. So do you think that's going to smell?
No. That could be bad.
A lot of dead fish.
It's a lot of, you know, just blood itself can smell. Mm-hmm. But there you think of how it affects the salt water sea. You know, this could be the Mediterranean Sea. It could be the Atlantic. It could be all of them. We don't know. But then wasn't there also, didn't Moses turn some water into blood with Pharaoh? Mm-hmm. He did, you know. So then what do you drink? If all the water is going to turn into blood.
Evian.
So we go to number four, Revelation 16:4, the third bowl affected all the blank water sources, and they became what?
It was probably the fresh water sources,
yeah.
The rivers.
The rivers and the springs.
Yeah, so you got the salt water is blood. Mm-hmm. Now all the fresh water, the rivers, the springs are blood. And 4A there, did you know that there is an angel in charge of the waters?
No.
I never knew that. You know, it's just kind of a yes.
A job.
Yes or no.
Yes.
You know, you got, there's a lot of angelic activity in the book of Revelation. Remember, there's angels that are from the four corners that kind of are able to watch the wind. They can let it blow, and they were told that you just stand down, hold tight. Time wasn't right for there to be any huge wind to come yet. But you got angels that are in charge of different things of God's creation, which I just never realized that. Okay, 4b, the angel in charge of the waters called this judgment blank. What is going on here in the third bowl of God's judgment, this angel calls this judgment what?
What they deserve.
It's deserved. Just. What God is doing here is just. Mm. The people deserve this kind of judgment. What's the reason for deserving this kind of judgment? Well, we go to number C there, 4C. Why do the people on earth deserve this judgment?
Well, they're still in sin. They haven't received the Savior.
That's really what they've done to other believers and other prophets.
They shed the blood of saints and prophets.
Yeah, and so now if you want to shed the blood of those that are telling you the truth, then you might as well then just drink blood. Because that's what you like.
Yeah.
You like their blood? Okay, now drink
judge
it.
Judge things yourself.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So you go to verse 7. Who responds to this judgment? You know, it's interesting. What does your Bible say? Who responds to this judgment?
Mine says the altar responded.
Yeah, the altar. That's what I got too, the altar. And that's why, you know, takes me back to what you talked about a number of weeks ago, that those under the altar, those that have been martyred, are under there saying, like, when are you going to avenge our blood?
Yeah.
Well, here it's happening. That you go back to, I think that's chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, is where you find the martyrs that are under the altar, the spirits that are under the altar, martyred spirits. So you go to Revelation 6, 9 through 11, that is where you find those voices being voiced there. Okay, so we've done bowl 1, bowl 2, bowl 3. We come to bowl 4, chapter 16, verse 8. The fourth angel poured his bowl on the
sun,
S-U-N, which was given power to
scorch people.
To scorch people with fire. Well, we find in, well, then it says the people, what did the people do?
Curse God.
Because they had extremely sunburn, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they curse God and they refuse to
repent.
Yeah. So, you know, here again, they know that only God can do something like this, and they're not turning from their wicked ways. And yet they still curse God and they will not repent, where God would love them if they would. But of course, if they got the mark of the beast, they kind of sealed their fate with that. What's interesting that in Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. In Malachi chapter 4, and there's only four chapters in Malachi, verse 1, it talks about that the earth will burn like a furnace. So you got even in Malachi, the Old Testament, it talks about how there's going to be climate change. Global warming that is going to take place here. And so earth will burn like a furnace, and here it gets a little bit more specific, is that the sun will give off so much power that it's going to really scorch people. It's going to be hot. 16:10, the fifth bowl was poured out. And now there's a little change. We go from the planet Earth itself, and now we have a change in where God's wrath is now going to be focused on who?
On the devil.
Yeah, the throne of the beast. And his kingdom was plunged into what?
Darkness.
Darkness. Yeah. Where have we seen God use darkness before? You know, that was one of the plagues in Egypt too.
Egypt.
Interesting thing is, it was only dark where the Egyptians were. Where the Hebrews were at, it was a regular day. But we also find that when Jesus died on the cross, well, he's on the cross, it was dark from noon till 3 over the land. And so that had to be pretty eerie kind of a thing there too. And so we've come here to Revelation. Now we find that there's going to be darkness that will come over the throne of the beast and his kingdom. He is going to be plunged into darkness. And it goes on there to say that there's also more agony that goes along with that. It says that men, what?
They chewed their tongues. Or
yeah,
their tongues.
They gnawed. They chewed their tongues in agony. Mm-hmm. And then they did what?
Curse God.
They curse God and refuse to repent of what they have done. So there again, you know, they can't say they didn't have a chance, because in each of these judgments, you know, God is still saying, hey, you know, if you will repent, he will take you. Yeah. But they're at a point in place where they're, it's kind of like Pharaoh. You know, there's a point where Pharaoh, it says that God hardened his heart. And they're like, it didn't matter what happened after that. Pharaoh didn't respond until his own firstborn died. And then he finally said, take your people and go. But then later on, had a change of heart and went after the went after the Israelites. And of course, he did not overtake them. All right, the sixth bowl. Verse 12, Revelation 16, the sixth bowl was poured out on the great river.
Euphrates.
Yeah, the Euphrates. Now, what country is the Euphrates in today?
Isn't that Iraq?
It's in Iraq. Mm. Right. You've got the Tigris and the Euphrates rivers in Iraq. That's where we also will find the town or the city known as, today it's called what?
I don't know.
Babylon.
What?
Babylon.
They're
still Babylon.
Oh.
Yeah. So the sixth bowl does a couple of things here. It affects the great river Euphrates, and it does two things. 8a, made the river blank up.
Dry.
Interesting, isn't it? It dries up the Euphrates, and it's a pretty good-sized river. What is interesting is that in Turkey, they built a dam in Turkey that can make this river dry up. If they shut it off the water, it can happen. But here it says God is going to dry it up on this judgment. And this then will allow the kings from the where?
East.
And who could that be? Who is east of the Euphrates River?
Well,
I don't know. We could look it up.
I'm looking at the Soviet, Turkey, Iran,
yep.
Afghanistan, and then keep going. Uzbekistan and Russia. And,
you get into India, you get into China, Japan. Remember early on when it said that John saw that there was 200 million in this army? You know, and we look at the most population in the world is in that part of the world today.
Mm-hmm.
So this, with the river drying up, this will allow the kings from the east to come and gather at blank.
Armageddon.
Armageddon is the last great battle between good and evil.
I think, I listened to that Jewish guy from the Middle East, mm-hmm. and he pronounces it Megiddo.
Megiddo. Oh, Megiddo, yeah. Yeah, because they go Megiddo.
Yeah.
The Mount of Megiddo or the Valley of Megiddo. That's probably, would be more Jewish.
Of course, we... redneck it up a bit. Armageddon.
Megiddon. The Battle of Armageddon. All right. What we find here, we're still in the sixth bowl. Chapter 16, verse 13. We find that there are three evil spirits or demons. The evil spirits are demons, and they look like what?
Frogs.
Frogs, yeah. Okay, frogs.
Yeah, they were in the plagues.
They were in the plagues, that there are frogs all over the place. So that's what I put up on the board here, is there is an Egyptian god by the name of Heka, H-E-K-A, which is the goddess that looked like
frog.
That look like what?
Well, she looked like a frog.
Frog.
The goddess of frogs. Because she looked like a frog.
Wow.
So that was one of the gods that the Egyptians worshipped. They also had the god of Isis. Isis, I should put on there, the goddess of,
a cow.
She looked like a cow.
Oh.
The goddess of a cow. So in Moses' day, when There was a plague that also, actually was one of the plagues where it had hail. I think it was hail and fire that killed cows. But it was with fire, so it affected the cows. And he goes like, okay, they had a god that they worshipped that looked like a cow. His name was Isis. And then with frogs, they had another god that they worshipped, Heka, which looked like a frog. And so you kind of see where God is the first commandment that God teaches his people is, you shall have no other gods before me. There's only one living God. He's it. There's no such thing as other gods. So God's judgment happened back in Moses' day with the Pharaoh, and now we find in the end times, at the end of the world, we find whereby some of these things pop up again here. The frogs, now it's interesting that they came out of the blank of the unholy trinity. There's like one frog came out of Satan's mouth. One frog came out of the Antichrist's mouth, and one frog came out of the false prophet's mouth. And you got these three frogs. It's like, I don't ever remember hearing things about frogs in Revelation. But here it is. And they're tied into being dirty, unclean creatures. animals, frogs. And so they're unclean, which is the same way demons are always looked upon as unclean spirits. And so these frogs then, they're able to perform miraculous what?
Signs.
And they're going to use their miraculous signs to influence the kings of the whole world to gather them and to come to Megiddo, where the big battle will take place. They're all going to end up coming to this certain one place. And so this happens right before Jesus comes the second time. The seventh bowl, verse 17, what was said after the seventh bowl poured out into the air? Now this one kind of put it up in the air. The God's judgment goes into the air, but there's something that was said.
It is done. Yay!
Yeah, it is done. It means this is the last judgment. It is done. What did Jesus say on the cross before he died?
It is finished.
It is finished.
It's done.
Yeah, which means it's done. Finished. The Greek word, it is done, it's just one word. In the English, we make it into three words. Mm-hmm. It is done. But in the Greek, it's gegonen. Is how you say it. Gegonen.
How do you spell it?
G-E-G-O-N-E-N. Gegonen. And so something happens after the voice comes out saying, it is done, the last bowl is poured. What happens? 10a. There was a
earthquake.
Yeah, it's a great earthquake. One that will not ever happen again. One that will never ever be. It'll be remembered.
Well, it says here too. Before that, there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder.
Yep. Good point. Yep.
So earthquake too.
Yeah. So something was going to happen. It's like an announcing that something great is still going to happen. That's not going to be good. Because this earthquake, it kind of puts the whole planet in a convulsion.
And it kind of almost sounds like a. Like a nuclear bomb, because when there's a nuclear bomb that goes off, there's a lot of lightning and thunder, massive clouds, and
yeah. But here it's kind of like islands disappear and mountains go flat. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a huge. It's off the charts of the Richter scale. There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. It says here that the great city split into.
Three parts.
Now, the great city, that's, you know, that splits into three parts. That's an interesting thing here.
What is the great city?
Well, you know, they're not real sure. There's three options. The great city can be the spiritual Babylon that is associated with Rome. Mm-hmm. So there's a spiritual Babylon. There's also what is going to be a physical Babylon. Saddam Hussein started to rebuild Babylon back in the 1990s. He was going to try to make Babylon another place where people would want to come because it would be he could show it off. But, I mean, he's out of the picture now.
But it says here, I just Googled it, there is somebody. For 9 years, they've been working on it, and it's being funded by something called the World Monuments Fund. And they have actually rebuilding the walls.
Okay. Yeah. But in the Old Testament, when Babylon fell, the Old Testament prophet said that city would never ever be rebuilt or inhabited again. Hmm. It's like there doesn't seem to be that it would come, it would be a resurrection of greatness that would come to that city again.
And one of the things, it says here they have restored the statue of the Lion of Babylon.
Yeah, yeah. So there's probably that restoration that's going back to the to who they are.
It'll be a tourist trap.
A tourist trap, yeah.
It'll have significance. I think it'll be a tourist thing.
Yeah. But, you know, for it to be divided into three parts, it could possibly be Rome, because we'll probably get into that the next chapter. It's talking about a city that has seven hills. And that was one of the distinguishing factors about Rome, is that it would be built in a place where there were seven hills. Now in Zechariah 14:4, it could also be Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there it says a Mount of Olives split in half. But this is really kind of in reference to Christ's second coming. Mm-hmm. And so his second coming is going to happen immediately after this seventh bowl takes place.
Oh, I have to share one more thing about it.
Yeah.
This is a conversation with the guy who's the head of the archaeology department rebuilding this or whatever. He said, expunging the bricks around the relief of a dragon with a serpent's head. It is so well defined, it looks like it might have been made just yesterday rather than more than 2,000 years ago.
Wow. A dragon's?
A serpent's head. A dragon with a serpent's head.
Isn't that interesting?
That is just creepy. I would say, look, can we just destroy this? Just get it done now? No, they want to build it up and shine it up and stick it out there.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. But you know, you've got that in China and in Japan today. They got the Chinese New Year's. They got the people that are got this the dragon, serpentine going on. We find that because of the earthquake too, that the cities of the nations, what? That's why it's such a huge earthquake. The cities of the nations. I would hate to be living in a skyscraper.
Cities of the nations?
They collapsed, yeah. So, I mean, it's going to just wipe out structures of all kinds. I've never been in an earthquake. Has anybody here been in an earthquake? No, I haven't.
Well, yeah, I have.
Have you?
Yeah, Lincoln, Nebraska had a little itty-bitty earthquake, and I actually thought Tom was rattling the bed. We were on the fifth story, and I thought he was doing that to the bed, and I woke up and I said, stop, and he goes, what did I do? And it's yes, the place rattled.
Well, it wasn't this kind of an earthquake.
No.
Yeah. 10D, God gave Babylon the great, the blank of his wrath.
The cup of the wine of his wrath.
Well, I got wine of fury of his wrath.
Fury, okay.
And we'll get into more of that, I think, next week with the next chapter.
Basically, I guess that means he poured all of his wrath right there.
But it's really focused. See, and that's why they think that it's Babylon, the spiritual Babylon or Rome. It's judgment on this city for total destruction. And that's why it's not Jerusalem. Mm. Some of the theologians make that detail. 10E, you know, there's more. This isn't the end. There's still one more thing here that goes with this cup of wrath. 10E.
Hailstones. 100 pounds.
Yeah.
Hailstones.
You know, hailstones that were bigger than a bowling ball.
Yeah.
Again, in nuclear Shaban, hail will come down. It will hail.
Ah, you know. Hmm. So you think of
it. I watch those history channels too much.
But it does hail, huh?
Yeah, it hails after a nuclear blast.
No kidding. Well, mm-hmm. there's heat there too. Mm-hmm. Could be total nuclear holocaust on the world. Mm-hmm. But you know, think of it. You've got this great earthquake. People want to leave buildings. Because, I mean, they're so destroyed. I mean, there's really... And then you got these 100-pound hailstones.
Yeah.
Where do you go for protection?
Yeah.
You don't want to go inside because there's probably no place to go inside. Mm-hmm. And if there is, you're fortunate. But can you imagine the destruction of what a 100-pound hailstone could do?
Yeah, to you.
To just people.
Yeah.
And you'd see that.
See, and do you think this... Is this saying that it's just happening in that area of the world? I mean, you think about South America or our part of the country or whatever. Is it just happening fixated on the ancient biblical land?
It's a good question, and I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe we'll escape all this.
Well, we are.
Well,
we're the rapture.
Country, I don't think so.
The rapture, we're gone.
Yeah, I know.
We don't have to deal with that, but...
So we can skip right on to...
Yeah. Skip to chapter 29. No.
And so the last one on the worksheet, the last question is, did the people finally repent and glorify God?
No, they cursed him.
And the answer is no. What did the people do? They still curse God. Because the hail was so terrible.
So fearful. They were afraid.
You know, they would curse God because of what they still saw happen. And of course, this would be animals and people. There would be just nothing left. I mean, what kind of a grocery store would there be? Not much of anything. So that's... We're glad we come to the last of the judgments. And chapter 17 will still tell us more about the Babylon the Great. And even 18 is the fall of Babylon. And we get into 19, it says, hallelujah. We have to get to 19 for the hallelujahs. Which we'll be ready for.
So is this the chapter that ends the description of all the destruction, and then 17 starts with a different view of what of the same thing?
17 and 18 deal with the political Babylon. Mm-hmm. So you've got a spiritual Babylon and a political Babylon. Mm-hmm. But we find that, I mean, Babylon is just not a good word in God's dictionary. And yet it's going to be a place that will attract many people. I mean, it will be a huge attraction to world leaders and world people of prominence and power will just flock to this place. Mm-hmm. To their own demise. So, all right. Well, thank you for listening in, and I'm just going to shut this off.